to go straight to work. I'm going to go to work. I want to, you know, build a business. I want to build a house. I'm going to just set up roots. And I thought, okay, you know, I come from a blue collar family. This is nothing new for us. And he said, but you know, Mom, do you know, like, if I look at Arizona, do you know how cheap houses are in Arizona? Mom, look at this house that I found in Arizona. Do you know how many cranes are up in Texas? I mean, Texas has, look at all the building that they're doing. And by the way, Mom, do you know this is what the economy looks like in Florida? And I'm having this conversation with him, and I admitted to him, I said, you know, Damien, I got to be honest with you. If I were 18 years old again, I would not set up roots in Alaska. I would get out. I wouldn't find a wife here. I wouldn't build a business here. Alaska has been stagnant for so many years. We are, you know, at the bottom on education, right? We have all, I mean, the list of problems goes on. And I told him, I said, you know, I would leave. And as I laid in bed that night, I was heartbroken because that family history that I just gave to you, you know, the my grandmother in Naknek and my great uncle and, you know, all of these things, it ran through my head. And I thought, you know, my grandfather is buried out at Fort Richardson. He was in the Marine Corps. He's buried out at Fort Rich with my grandmother. And all of my siblings are here. You know, I have two brothers that served in the military, also in the Marine Corps. They're here. My nieces and nephews are here. I don't want my kids to move. So I was heartbroken. But I'll tell you, I was also in that moment, David, I will admit to you, I was incredibly angry. And I was angry because, as I mentioned, this whole time, I've been working on conservative issues and getting people elected. And then they get down to Juneau and they get more concerned about keeping that job than doing the job. I have watched both sides of the aisle. I have watched people get down there. They're in the back pocket of the lobbyists. I have watched even Republicans flip to where they are hardly recognizable. They're taking votes that I didn't think were possible at the time that I was helping them out, whether it was financially or with time and talent and that sort of thing. And so when that heartbreak met that frustration, I thought, you know what? We got to do something about this. And I went back to my son the next day and I said, you know, I think I was wrong. I made that comment to you. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't think that the right approach is to run. I think that the right approach is that we stay here, we battle it out. You know, we talk about Alaska's strategic location. No other state in the country has a strategic location like Alaska does. All of these other states, at the end of the day, the greatest threat to national security, I would argue, is our dependence upon foreign oil and minerals and our energy sources. Who has the ability to provide that protection for the rest of the country? It's Alaska. Alaska can power the rest of the country. Arizona can't make that claim. Florida can't make that claim. And so I told him, I said, you know, Damien, we need to, I need to go back. I think the time is actually for us to sit here and battle it out. And I reflected back on something also in that moment and had this conversation with my kids. I'm a big fan of Donald Trump. I like President Donald Trump. I think he's done more for Alaska than any other president. And as I mentioned, you know, I love the job Congressman Nick Begich has done. I'm biased, of course, given my position within that effort. And people tell me all the time, man, you know, Wally Hickel was one of Alaska's greatest visionaries. And I told my kids, I said, you know, as I think about it, and I think about the frustration that I have with bureaucrats and politicians, that the people that have been able to turn Alaska around are the ones that have come from outside government, and they know what it's like to sign the front of a paycheck. I share those two traits in common. And so as I got to talking with the kids, I thought, you know, maybe the answer to what we're going to do differently this time lies right there in that answer. It's having someone from outside government that has signed the front of a paycheck. And as I look around, you know, we talk all the time that we don't like career politicians and the bureaucrats are the problem. And then people run for office and it's, you know, here's my 20-page resume of what I've done. I'm thinking, well, my gosh, the last 20 years you've been there. The state has gone down the drain on any number of topics, which I know we will get into. And so it hit me also of, okay, who has actually been able to deliver? What does history show us? Who can get results? You know, Ronald Reagan, when he ran for governor of California, never been in office before. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe we need somebody from outside government. And So those things all contributed ultimately to that decision of, you know what, let's get in here, let's do this, let's fix this problem. And so here we are fighting for the great state of Alaska. And I'll tell you what, it is going to be a great 4 years, 5 years ahead of us by the time we wrap up this campaign.
Okay. Hey, we're going to take a commercial break. Fairbanks, you're listening to KFAR Radio. If you want to call in and ask Bernadette a question, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
It's coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's the final comedy showcase of the season, and it's going out with a bang featuring the legendary Pete Lee. You've seen Pete Lee on TV shows, talk shows, his own specials. Now catch him live Wednesday, April 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday at the Spur, Friday and Saturday, the 3rd and 4th at the Pioneer Park Theater. All shows are at 7. Tickets available at aktickets.com or the door. The final comedy showcase of the season with Pete Lee, brought to you by Zach's at Sophie Station and 97.5 KFAR.
After a record-breaking cold winter, summer's gonna hit different this year. So get ready to ride with a little help from Alaska Fun Center. Check out the latest machines from Yamaha, Kawasaki, and CF Moto. From street bikes and cruisers to dirt bikes, and a full lineup of ATVs and side-by-sides built for Alaskan adventures. Whether you're hitting the road, the trail, or way off the grid, all the fun starts at Alaska Fun Center on College Road.
Spring is in the air. Somewhere. Snow what I mean? Hey, Fairbanks, let's take a look at Fairbanks Nissan. We're starting our spring cleaning early. So this month, I've got some easy deals you should know about. This month, you can buy three tires and you can get the fourth for a dollar. So plan ahead and get your tires now. Hold on to your ski wax. We're down to our last few 2025 Nissans, and these are going to go fast. We have a ton of options. Yes, even all-wheel drives for under $30,000. We have two Nissan Versas, stock number 25107 and 108. You can buy for just $22,999. How about this, an all-wheel drive Altima, stock number 25062, for just $29,999. We're cleaning house. On top of all that, NEMAC has 0% offers on Pathfinders, Muranos, and Rogues. And J.D. Power says the 25 Nissans are the number one non-luxury brand for initial quality. Oh, and if it's time to sell your old ride, we're in car buying mode. Come see Shorty, our used car manager. He's looking to buy the best spring rides today. Sell your car, get a fantastic deal on your next ride, or get your tires during our best sale of the year. See all the spring deals at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
0% requires bank approval. Sale prices valid until the end of the month while supplies last. See dealer for details.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 26. Southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected again tonight. Lows dip down to about 3 below. Highs level off around 29 tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Bernadette Wilson in the phone with me here. How's it going there, Bernadette?
Oh, very good.
Now, many items for governor and many items for Alaskans. And one of them that always comes up is the permanent fund dividend. Mm-hmm. What's your thought policy, or what are you going to do with the permanent fund dividend if you're elected governor?
So I will state this very clearly. I absolutely support a statutory permanent fund being paid out. And I have committed that I will use anything and everything in my power to force those legislators to follow the law. So straight out of the gate, I'll say this. Those legislators who claim that they can't follow the law, at minimum, need to change the law. Now, I don't agree with changing the law, and I want to make that very clear. I do not agree with changing it, but they need to, at minimum, be following that statute. If you start to allow legislators to ignore statute and not follow it, I think you're setting an incredibly dangerous precedent on that aspect of the permanent fund. But I'll add this to that as well. It's interesting to me. I have people say, well, we can't afford to pay out a statutory permanent fund. Okay, you've heard this, David. I've heard this. We've all heard this, right? We can't afford it. It's been the topic of conversation for the last 10 years. We can't afford it. for legislators who say that, it's interesting that the same legislators that tell you we can't afford to pay out a permanent fund dividend are the same ones that would like to see a return to defined benefit. That would cost the state $7.1 billion. That's what the actuarial analysis says from the Reason Foundation. $7.1 billion with a B. These are the same legislators that will tell you we have to have an $1,800 base dune allocation, a BSA increase. So they come to the electorate, to Alaskans, and they say we can't pay you your permanent fund out of one side of their mouth. Out of the other side of their mouth, they have not met a spending package they don't like. There is such a contradiction in that.
Their priorities are disheveled, I'll say.
They absolutely are. And here's the thing. You know, the permanent fund hit a record, you know, amount in November 2025, $85 billion, okay? Now, if the permanent fund cannot afford to pay out on its own, right? If this is true, well, I can't afford to pay it out. Remember that the statutory, there's a formula in place. If the permanent fund doesn't have the money, not legislators, the fund, okay, then you're not going to get a permanent fund. Your permanent fund would be $100. Maybe it would be $50. You're not guaranteed a $3,800 permanent fund. We were never guaranteed that for years. And so you never had a guaranteed amount. It was a formula that was in place that was based off of the value. So when they say, well, the money's not there, you can't pay it out, well, follow the formula. And if the formula backs that information up, then you're right. A permanent fund will not be paid out. That is indeed accurate. But the reality is the money is there. They just have decided that they want to spend it somewhere else. But more importantly than any of that, that I think often gets lost in the conversation over a permanent fund dividend is this. It's not ultimately about the amount of a check anyways. And it's not even about a formula. The reason that I believe it is incredibly important for us to battle on that permanent fund dividend and to dig our heels in is because at the very foundation and the very core of the permanent fund debate is the question about who knows better how to spend money. Is it government or is it the individual? And then who owns the rights to those resources? Do they belong to government or do they belong to the individual? You own the rights to the resources. We are the owner state. That is core to Alaska's statehood. It's core to our Constitution. And when you concede on the permanent fund, you're not conceding on simply, you know, changing a formula or anything else. You're conceding on a core conservative belief, which is who knows better? Is it the individual or is it government? And I'll tell you, if for no other reason than that, if that is the only reason, I sure as heck will battle it out on that permanent fund dividend. I will battle with those legislators all day long. You know, and I've had people say, oh my gosh, you know, Bernadette, there's just no way we can do this. The money's not there. Well, if the money's not there, like I say, then the formula will not allow it to be paid out. The money is there, and that's why they don't want to follow the formula, because they want to take the money and they want to spend it elsewhere, talking out of both sides of their mouth. So those components to that conversation are incredibly important. And, you know, in addition to the dividend conversation, you look at the way the permanent fund is managed, and, you know, you're hard-pressed to tell me that that thing is being managed appropriately and for maximum return on investment. It's performing at a fraction of the S&P. That permanent fund, even for hitting a record $85 billion in November 2025, still could be performing much better for us, and we need to have that conversation as well.
Are you ready for a phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Bernadette Wilson, and your name is?
Randy.
Hello, Randy.
Yes. Now, I sent my permanent fund check back, my dividend check, back to the Department of Revenue, all $1,000 of it from the 2025 check. And I've done that for the past 10 years. I always send my check back. But my reason that I give in my letter of explanation to the Department of Revenue, I say I'm sending this back, donating it back to the general fund, because Alaska has not yet replenished our CBR savings account emergency savings account, which they're supposed to do by law, and that because we need that to tide us over in case we have another emergency where the oil prices crash. And so my question to you is, do you advocate for replenishing the CBR?
I absolutely do. And recently, I mean, here just in the last few weeks, news broke about the record lease sales in Cook Inlet, right? A very exciting day for Alaska. You know, ConocoPhillips and Exxon, everyone was excited. Oh my gosh, they have re-entered the market. And there's all of this money that just by the record lease sales will be coming into Alaska. And what we have to keep in mind is, yes, you have record lease sales. The first priority, absolute first priority of that money coming into the state is that you replenish those very accounts that you just brought up. We have to replenish those savings accounts. My concern is that you get legislators who are down in Juneau and they hear, oh my gosh, record lease sales. It's Christmas for Alaska. We're going to go out and buy the new car and forget that their home is about to be foreclosed on. You can't do that. That money has got to go back in. And when we know that we're getting a little bit of a bump, like we suspect, you know, we are getting from these record lease sales, that has to be the number one priority. You can't keep spending this like drunken sailors. And we see, if you go through Alaska's history, you know, price of oil will go up, and suddenly we find the reason that we're going to go with all these new capital projects, which we need to have a strong capital budget. Don't get me wrong there. But, you know, one-time money comes in, and we'll go build 10 new schools, and then 5 years later, the price of oil is down, and nobody has budgeted for the maintenance on those said schools. So replenishing those savings accounts has to be priority. Legislators, with a strong arm from the governor and incredibly strong encouragement from the governor, are going to have to recognize that is your first priority. You can't get so excited that now you're going to go take that money and blow it. You have to replenish those accounts first.
Well, I appreciate you wanting to replenish the CBR. You know, it used to have $12 billion, and now they've sucked it way down to about $1 billion. And once it's replenished, I'll feel in good conscience where I can start keeping my PFD check instead of always sending it back.
Yeah. Well, and it comes down to a budget question, and we need to have a strong conversation about our budget. We spend more on government per capita than any other state in the country. We have more government employees per capita than any other state in the country. And I'll tell you, when you are draining down our savings account, but simultaneously, Department of Health, just this past summer, Department of Health spent money sponsoring an LGBT doula class, okay? So Department of Health is spending money on an LGBT doula class. It wasn't long after that. Department of Health also spent money on a suicide awareness type of symposium where they had a self-bearded drag queen talking to kids as young as 13 years old. So the savings account is drained. Legislators are saying they're out of money, but yet we're spending money sponsoring an LGBT doula class? Are you kidding me? Now, are you going to solve the state budget by cutting out an LGBT doula class? Probably not. But it's a strong indicator that government has gotten so fat and so frivolous that they're spending money in ridiculous ways. You know, we had an individual here in Alaska who the governor had hired to come in to try to find where some of this potential fat was at. That individual highlighted where the state could save money. We turned around and fired that individual. She gets hired over at the Kennedy Center by President Trump, where she found, you know, all of the financial mess over there, and now has the Kennedy Center back on their feet. So when you hear of things like this, you know, when we have departments, Department of Transportation is one that I highlight. When Department of Transportation is out throwing down road salt and sand and sending graders out in May when there's no snow on the streets, and I know it's not literally May, but they start sending them out in the spring because they're worried that if they don't burn through their budget and burn through those dollars, that they won't get it next year. We need to change the use it or lose it mentality long before you tell me, well, gosh, our savings is completely drained. I don't understand. But yet you're spending money on these frivolous projects and little what I'll refer to as a side hustle. And you fired the very person who came in and said, yes, I can tell you where you can save money. I can tell you, so to speak, where the bodies are buried.
Bernadette, we're going to take a commercial break. We have a satellite feed, Fairbanks. If you want to call in, we are at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after some bumper music, some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials, and we'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
President Trump is once again calling for other countries to get involved in reopening the Strait of Hormuz. Secretary of War Pete Hegseth claims the responsibility should not just be on the United States to keep that strait open.
Last time I checked, there was supposed to be a big, bad Royal Navy that could be prepared to do things like that as well. So he's pointing out, this is an international waterway that we use less than most. In fact, dramatically less than most.
Gas prices in the U.S. reaching an average of $4 a gallon for the first time since 2022. NASA is scheduled to launch 4 astronauts towards the moon tomorrow, part of the Artemis II mission. Senior test director Jeff Spaulding says the team's looking forward to this launch.
People are excited and ready to go on this this first chapter on our way back to the moon since the 1970s.
Now, the launch has been delayed for months now because of malfunctions and other issues. The astronauts will actually fly around the moon and then back as part of the mission with no lunar landing plan until 2028. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports Anchorage police plan to begin offering people accused of some low-level crimes a chance to avoid arrest and prosecution in exchange for addressing substance misuse or other issues that played a central role in their offenses. The Anchorage Police Department will soon open the bidding process for vendors interested in managing an initiative to deflect some who would otherwise face criminal charges to services designed to tackle certain problems, like untreated behavioral health conditions that contributed to the crime they were accused of committing. Officials said. The goal of the diversion program is to reduce the number of people who cycle in and out of the criminal justice system, said Anchorage Police Chief Sean Case. Those offered a spot in the diversion program would not be arrested or charged with a crime as long as they complete its requirement, he said. Potential secondary benefits, officials said, could be reducing strain on criminal justice system resources. Police are working to finalize the request for proposals and hope to launch the program in July, said department spokesperson Gina Romero.
Online at KFAR660.com.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
Beaver Sports brings Alaskan-style fun to every season. From the best skis and snowboards on the market to the best selection of bikes, canoes, and camping gear that you can imagine. And it's all perfect for our climate and conditions. Don't forget the clothes and shoes that keep you comfortable through every kind of weather that Alaska can throw at you and your family. Beaver Sports offers it all. This week's 50-50 Friday offer means you'll pick up a $50 gift certificate to Beaver Sports for just $25. Beaver Sports, welcome to the great outdoors on College Road.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs. and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at NationalGuard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Got Bernadette Wilson on the studio with me. How you doing there?
Oh, great.
And you're not in the studio with me. You're on the phone.
That's right. We've been traveling all over the state. We were just up in Fairbanks on Sunday, which was great. We were up there last weekend, which was nice to have a couple weekends in a row to be up there, but happy to join you on the phone today. We actually were in Palmer this morning, and then we are in Squintna tonight out at the Squintna Roadhouse doing a meet and greet. So we're zigzagging all over the state.
Ready for another phone call?
Absolutely.
Good morning. You're on KFAR with Bernadette Wilson, candidate for governor, and your name is?
This is Jamie. Hi, Bernadette. You just switched to the top of my list in my jungle primary picks. Okay? You have to remember, as far as it was Bill Walachowski or somebody who's a Democrat in Anchorage.
Walachowski,
Yeah, he took it to the Supreme Court, and they decided it was an appropriation against the statute. Now, I remember the fight over getting the statute, but I didn't really want it. I wanted it the way it was, but okay. So we have the statute. The Supreme Court ruled against the law.
That's clearly a frustration with a lot of Alaskans. Absolutely. Unfortunately, I would argue that we have seen that multiple cases when it comes out of our courts. I mean, our courts, no doubt, have started to legislate from the bench. That is a whole other topic that we could get into. You know, the court system in Alaska, the grand jury problems within the court system in Alaska, that is a whole hornet's nest of things. And there's no doubt that we need to have a conversation about the fact that we have to address the court system, and we've got to get this notion in check that judges can legislate from the bench. Personally, I think that judges should have to be elected. I think that they need to go face the electorate. And we've seen it. In fact, anymore, there is a joke, not funny, but people comment all the time. You could take the exact same issue, put it in front of the court, and depending on who the judge is at that moment or the state that you're in, you're going to get a different answer. And we've seen Republican and Democrat operatives on both sides use that to their advantage. They will take an issue, and if it's conservative, they're going to go fight it in Texas or Florida and make sure that they set precedent. If you're a Democrat, you're going to take it to Minnesota or California, and then you're going to try to set precedent. It was never the intention of our forefathers that our courts operated that way, and unfortunately, that's the situation that we're in, and we've got to battle
Alaska,
that.
Alaska does not follow its law, because if it did, I wouldn't be poor. But anyway, Bernadette, do you have, because you're at the top of my list, you're number one, you need to get out and about. There's no signs here in Fairbanks. Do you have a phone number? I am not going to a website, and I am not going to Facecrack, what most people call Facebook. I call it Facecrack. And so I don't have any, I don't know what's going on because I don't go to Facecrack. And so do you have a phone number?
Can I give you an email?
No, I haven't used email in 4 years, probably more. I have a brain injury because, you know, I can't get any help from the state. But anyway, so
I really don't like giving out people's phone numbers over the air.
Yes.
There's a privacy issue that we have with that.
How about I give you mine?
There you go. If you want to give your phone number, give it to her and she can call you back or text you.
Bernadette, because I'd be happy to help you up here in Fairbanks, the Fairbanks general area. My number is obviously 907-38. I've had the same number since 2000. It's 388-7230.
388-7230?
Correct.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it.
You're on my list now, girl.
Okay.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, it's an interesting campaign. You're up here this weekend. you were at the Lincoln Day dinner. That was great. You had a, then you all go down to, what, Palmer yesterday for the veterans
forum.
Yeah. So you're all seeing everyone together. How are y'all getting along?
You know, it's been great. So up in Fairbanks, we had the home show. And then for our campaign, we did a meet and greet event up there for veterans. And then we went over to the home show. Saturday, we were in Anchorage in the morning. We were in Homer in the afternoon, and we were out in Wasilla Saturday evening. And so we're all running around, you know. And so anyhow, it's been a great experience for sure. And some good friendships that have been forged. Definitely some incredible memories that I think will stick with all of us. And, you know, at the end of the day, I will say I really and truly believe that all of us are ultimately after the same goal, right? We want improved education. We want to see this state succeed. We disagree on how we get there. We disagree on the approach that we should take. Even if we agree on the policy, we may disagree on the approach to get that policy accomplished. But at the end of the day, you cannot question that anyone really and truly wants to see this state succeed. And for that, I commend everyone in this race.
Very true. Very true. You know, we're going to take a quick phone call, okay?
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Bernadette Wilson, and your name is?
Hey, Bert. This is Lee out of Denali.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Bernadette. First and foremost, I like what you're sending. And with regard to people helping you, by all means, there's a lot of folks up here that I'm sure will appreciate your message. The one thing I will ask you to do is take a look-see, and not to copy, but just to see what some of your opponents are talking about. And I have respect for Mr. Bronson and Mr. Church, and in addition, I have respect for what you are putting out. But I believe that the correlation of what you are putting out and what they are putting out could be refined. And I think that you have a message platform that can help refine that. But the one question I have for you, if you don't mind discussing it on the air, is what would you do to reduce our energy cost if you became governor? And I'll stay on the line to answer any questions you have for me.
Thank you, Lee. Yeah,
no, absolutely. So energy costs obviously are a huge concern throughout the state, and arguably, when people discuss living in Alaska, the price of housing and the cost of energy are two significant things. There's a few different things there. The first thing is we have got to get development projects online, okay? We have got to. It is ridiculous that Alaska is sitting on all of these resources, and yet we are hardly developing them. And so we've got to start getting, you know, the oil in the ground isn't worth anything just sitting in the ground. The minerals are only worth something if we can get them up out of the ground. So I think it's critical. I support the gas line. I am optimistic that the gas line is going to go. I think that is exciting. I hope that it happens. I hope that we're not dealing with kind of a Lucy in the football situation, as I know many of us have felt over the years. I think that it's important that while we support the gas line, we recognize that there are a bunch of other projects that we simultaneously have to push. We can't get our heads so wrapped around the axle on one project that we forget that we need to walk and chew gum at the same time and start pushing other projects as well. Refineries in Alaska. You know, we talk about the high price of gas. Everyone will ask. And I get to ask this question even when I'm down in the States by family who live down in Texas. They'll come to Alaska. My gosh, why on earth is the cost of fuel so high here? We need to get refineries. The fact that we're taking our gas, shipping it out of state back up to Alaska, makes absolutely no sense. So that's another conversation that we really need to get going when we're talking about the high cost of energy here in Alaska. Why on earth are we not pushing and getting our refineries back up and opened?
Well, here's one of the things that I would think of if you're going to immediate reduction of utility services. There's, you know, from Homer, they have like a 6 cent per kilowatt hour rate because of their dam system there. Yet, by the time it gets to Fairbanks, we've been through three different utility companies, and they all charge us a transfer fee.
They're all not charged.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, basically, I was wondering if a governor, by executive proclamation, executive order, can terminate that practice, because that is just causing other people a higher rate for that transmission to that other area. Simple as that.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, every time it passes through, somebody wants to make sure that they get their cut of it. And the more that we can get quickly to the consumer, more direct to the consumer. I own a garbage business.
Yeah.
We always talk about in the garbage business, you want to touch the trash the least amount of times as possible, because every time it's got to get touched, you're now adding to the expense.
Yeah. So yeah. Here's another thought. On the gas line, if it is built, it's for the export. So, I mean, it's being built for an export. And my thought would be all in-state gas has no tariff to the users for in-state use, be it commercial or residential. Period. It's a very, very small fraction of what's going to go down there. So, you know, I hope you take a look at that, Bernadette, and take a look at that closely and see these are two areas where we can give utility relief, because you have all these utility companies and the public ones too, and they don't operate efficiently because they can go to the RCA and get their rate increases for what they need. And it just pisses me off.
Approved every single time.
Yeah, just pisses me off. Yep. Sorry for ranting.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what,
actually,
you look at the high cost.
Yes, Lee.
My apologies for interrupting. If I may, Bernadette, would you use the governor's emergency authorization power to actually declare a energy crisis for Alaska based on what we're facing? And actually start using those powers where necessary to actually do something like the president has done.
That's a question for Bernadette. I'm not running for governor.
I understand. That's why I addressed it to Bernadette after I got with you. But in terms of that, would you be willing to use those executive powers to basically confront our legislative body and the courts? In other words, get something done while you're fighting it out in the courts and while the dithering idiots that call themselves legislators try to figure out what they're going to do to stop you. But in the meantime, would you use that power to get something done? And with that, I'll leave you with it, Bernadette.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that the governor, hands down, has the opportunity to make emergency declarations on numerous fronts. On this one, as well as some other areas where I think that the governor needs to be making emergency declarations. And you're hard pressed to tell me, because I've had people tell me, Bernadette, my gosh, you couldn't do that. You know, that's abusing executive orders. And what I have said is, listen, you go up to Fairbanks when it's negative 30 degrees for days on end, and then you take that high cost of heating homes, and you go tell me that that's not grounds for an emergency declaration. I will take that battle on any day. Any day you can tell me that I've lost my mind, because I think that we need to do an emergency declaration. So.
You haven't. And we're going to take a quick commercial break, okay?
All right.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
...is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Don't let that snow piling up slow you down. This month, Samson Hardware is here to help you conquer that snow with ease. Thanks to Samson Hardware, your driveway and sidewalks can be clean. From durable shovels, ice melt, and winter gear, they've got everything you need to tackle the toughest snowfalls and make it yesterday's work. And yes, their expert advice makes it simple. Come in today and get your snow removal tools and supplies. Get ahead of the snow with Samson Hardware. Samson Hardware, helping you build a life you love.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
Here in Alaska, we are a bit off the beaten path, so there are a few things that are super important. Food, shelter, and how you heat your shelter. The revolutionary Toyotomi Laser Direct Vent Heaters are easy to use, they are reliable, so you don't have to worry about it. Total Toyo can help you find the perfect heating solutions for your home. With multiple options to choose from, you can heat an entire home, hard-to-heat areas, and are certified for insulation in mobile homes and manufactured housing. When you need to heat your home, call Total Toyo, 488-9179.
It's the final comedy showcase of the season, and it's going out with a bang featuring the legendary Pete Lee. You've seen Pete Lee on TV shows, talk shows, his own specials. Now catch him live Wednesday, April 1st at the North Pole Ale House, Thursday at the Spur, Friday and Saturday, the 3rd and 4th at the Pioneer Park Theater. All shows are at 7. Tickets available at aktickets.com or the door. The final comedy showcase of the season with Pete Lee, brought to you by Zach's at Sophie Station and 97.5 KFAR.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun this afternoon, with highs around 26. Winds out of the southwest around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 3 below tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Highs around 29 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times and dry Thursday and Friday, with highs in the mid-30s. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Bernadette, how you doing there?
You know, I haven't had this much fun. You're the highlight of my day.
Well, I'm going to bring up a subject that might piss you off, but that's okay. They're talking about a statewide sales tax.
Oh, yeah.
What's your thought on that?
So, I'll be very, very clear on this.
No, be blunt and brunt.
Blunt. I oppose a sales tax. There, you are not going to convince me. You could tell me that you wanted a 0.25 sales tax, and I would tell you that I would absolutely oppose it. I have had people tell me, but Bernadette, you know, you just don't understand. It's time. You know, we have a revenue problem. The state does not have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem, and that's the first thing. We need to be incredibly clear about that. But let's just say, hypothetically, that the state did have a revenue problem. If you think, by any stretch of the imagination, that a sales tax is going to stay at 2% or 4%, so the proposal is 2% in the winter months, 6 months out of the year, 4% in the summer months, there's no way that that sales tax would actually stay at that. If you think that, I'll tell you what, I've got, you know, what do they say, oceanfront property in Arizona?
And I've got a level piece of property on the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, so first of all, so you're going to take 2%, throw it onto the cost of living 6 months out of the year in a state, we were just talking about the high cost of energy. It is already incredibly expensive to purchase a home, no matter what area of the state you're in here in Alaska. We know that groceries are more expensive. Everything is inflated so that we can get it up here, right? Just the cost of doing business in Alaska. So you're going to take a state that already has incredibly high expense rate when it comes to our living costs, a state that already has people moving out of state because of that, and then they think that a sales tax is the answer. It's absolutely not. You add a 4% sales tax, and you realize places like Homer, that now ups it to 10%. And then you want to do it, by the way, during this 6 months. Well, it's just seasonal. Well, seasonal is when the bulk of the Alaska economy is taking place, whether you are building roads, you're in home construction, maybe it's fishing, maybe it's tourism. There's any number of things where so much of our economic opportunity takes place in the summer. And I have a very hard time believing that sales tax would stay. It might stay today at 2 or 4%. But what do you think that looks like under a Democrat governor?
Well, a great example of it in the interior is the city of North Pole. They started out at a 1 or 2% sales tax, you know, about 15 to 25 years ago, and now they're at 8%.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I remind people of this because I've heard this out on the campaign trail. You know, well, you know, we do have a revenue problem. We probably just don't really have the money, and it's probably time to start having this conversation. If you have somebody right now out on the campaign trail or in the state legislature that is trying to tell you that we have a revenue problem. How long, if they'll say that right now as they're running for governor, how long do you think they will sit in that governor's seat before the lobbyists have them convinced that they need even more money? Well, you know, it's just 4.5%. We're just going to extend it 2 weeks earlier in May and 2 weeks later after the October deadline. It won't be that big. It's just 2 weeks here and 2 weeks there.
Keep the barbarians at the gate. Don't let them in.
It is. And the thing is, as I mentioned earlier, when you look at the state budget, there's a handful of things that need to be done. We need to change the way that we budget, whether we want to talk about taking a five-year rolling average. I'm a big fan of zero-based budgeting, so I think that helps. So we need to look at how we budget. That's one component of it. We need to look at coming in and auditing the state finances. I mentioned, you know, a handful of things earlier where we know that there's fluff and fat. There's, you know, roughly there was 300 unfilled, fully funded positions within government. Well, you know, you can't possibly cut those. I said, well, who's gonna know? These positions have not been filled, some of them, for several years. I mean, we're talking more than 5 and 7 years since they've been unfilled. I'm not sure who's gonna fill that effect. So my point is, we know there's areas, right? I talked earlier about the state had brought someone in to audit state government, and then we turn around and fired her. We need to come in and we need to do a strong audit of our state finances, and then we need to audit bureaucracy, not just the finances, but the bureaucratic operation that's going on. We need to look at how can we streamline using things even like AI technology. When I hear people telling me it takes me longer to get a permit from the state of Alaska than it does the federal government. Well, time is money. So we need to look at how can we streamline these things. So you have the budget conversation on how we budget. You need to have the conversation of what is in the budget, how we audit the finances, audit the bureaucracy. We need to have a conversation about how we are managing our permanent fund when it's being managed and it's operating at a fraction of the S&P. I would argue that we could do a far better job managing that money and those assets so that they are working better for our financial future. So my point to all of this is there is a big, well-rounded conversation that right now, all we've heard is, well, we just need more money, more money, more money, more money. We need a legitimate spending cap in place in this state. We don't have that.
Bernadette, we have about 2 minutes left. How do you want to end it?
Well, I will just say I would encourage everybody, you know, come go to our website, BernadetteForGovernor.com. If you're on social media, if you're not on social media, on YouTube, Bernadette for Governor. There is a whole host of videos up, David, on things that we didn't even get to touch on today. You know, trawling, education. I briefly mentioned the grand jury issues, election integrity issues that we've got to address in this state. So I would really encourage everybody, come find our videos. Like I say, if you're not on social media, we have a YouTube channel. We are putting videos up on a daily basis of me addressing any of these issues. Reach out to the campaign. I'd love to talk to you in person. And I will close with this. David, as I go to all these different gubernatorial forums and different debates, a lot of the questions are the same questions that were asked of gubernatorial candidates going back even 10 years ago, 20 years ago. We're having the same conversations. We've talked about the same road development projects, Ambler, for decades. Okay, we've talked about King Cove for decades. We've talked about the fact that we're not performing well in education. You can go back and find debates in the legislature from 20 years ago on what are we going to do about education. My point is this. Alaskans have to decide, what are we going to do different this time? How is this going to look different? And we have been electing people that come to us with their government resumes and all of this. You know, I have experience. I have executive experience. What we know is that it's the private sector executive experience. That is where we see results. When the rubber meets the road and it comes through and you're questioning, okay, people are making big promises, who can actually get the job done? I encourage all of us to answer the question, what are we going to do different, and study history, because history, both past and present, answers that question. We see it in President Trump. We see it in Congressman Nick Begich. You can go back to people like Ronald Reagan. You can go to people like Nick Begich. We know who can deliver. We've got to do it differently this election cycle when it comes to this governor's seat.
Bernadette, thank you very much for being on. You have a great day, and I will see you on the campaign trail, okay?
Thank you. God bless.
You're very welcome. Fairbanks, that is our show, and tomorrow is Wednesday. It's usually History Day, but I have another candidate for governor coming on tomorrow. So you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.